A religious uses nothing of any monetary value, and the word is nothing, on her own independent initiative. I repeat, the word is nothing . How different the ideas of some who talk about the injustice of sisters earning less for their labors than their women counterparts in the professional world. Let me quote a passage from a woman religious writing in a recent publication. And they are putting these ideas into very aggressive practice. Quote, sister, the idea that the sisters are expected to serve in the name of poverty is simply not palatable today. It has been considered wrongly a sacred tradition that sisters should exchange their talents and energies for a mere pittance in the name of poverty and for the glory of God. Unquote. Her. While I was in Rome last April on business, I had a conversation with the director of religious education of large southern diocese. I asked him how his sisters were doing. Well, he says, as well as can be expected these days. But he added, they are getting expensive. So I asked him, well, like how much? What do they cost? Well, he told me, our diocese budgeted each teaching sister for the last school year at $10,000 each. I might add, and all tax exempt. That is not poverty. This is also not the mind of the Catholic Church. It is not the teaching of Christ. It is not the directive of His vicar on earth. Not coincidentally, the Pope tells religious to wear their habits. Of all possible contexts, while he is writing on the subject of poverty, how wisely, with profound insight into human nature, a religious habit is said by the pontiff to be not only a sign of religious consecration, which it is, but a sure means of preserving religious poverty. What a person wears symbolizes what he owns. In today's world, as in every age, expensive clothes, different clothes for different occasions, and a constant change in style and fashion are the universal marks of affluence. They are also the opposite to what a religious professes to be, the follower of a master who was born in a stable, or as I prefer, in a barn. who died naked on the cross and was buried not even in his own grave. This is the infinite God. Nobody is deceiving anybody. We either practice corporate poverty or we scandalize the faithful who need our witness of persons who have gone and sold what we have, given to the poor, and then, notice that word, and only then, come follow me. We have one more level of corporate reflection on corporate obedience. No single aspect of the papal exhortation promises to be more crucial in the years to come as it has already since it was published than the Pope's insistence on corporate obedience. As we spoke of prayer and of poverty, that we should both pray and be poor as individuals to give our own personal witnesses, you notice the Holy Father's emphasis in our communitarian age on the need of something we had scarcely adverted to before, for one reason, because there was not such need to do so. Now the emphasis is on not only the individuals witnessing, but the communities. Let me then briefly explain what corporate obedience means. It is the ready compliance of those responsible for the corporate identity and activity of an order or congregation, their compliance, ready, with the directives and, at times, prescriptions of hierarchical authority, notably of the Second Vatican Council and the Holy See, especially for us religious, in speaking through the Sacred Congregation for religious and secular institutes. Just for your information, the large floor of the Vatican buildings, which are occupied by different people, here the Congregation for Religious, has a separate section, the larger, of course, for religious, and another section for secular institutes. The ones are not the others, though they are both under the same ultimate jurisdiction. Where such obedience of those who are responsible for the corporate identity and activity of the community, where this obedience is lacking or deficient, the whole body and every member of the community suffers, and suffers deeply. So deeply, words fail me to begin to describe the heroism of some religious in some communities whose responsible, or shall I say irresponsible, leaders are not obedient to hierarchical and especially papal authority. So that where this happens, it matters little that individuals within the community want to be responsive to the church's mandates for religious life. They are caught in the awful dilemma of having to choose an impossible choice between obedience to the church in its conciliar and papal authority and compliance with their authorized leaders, who maybe, and not a few are, at greater or less variance with the mind of the church. When these leaders pool their energies and coordinate their resources, especially financial, the consequences on the individual religious are so grave, so harmful, as to beggar description. Nothing like this has been seen, at least since the 16th century, when several hundred religious institutes were swept out of existence. And as we also know, thousands, that's the figure, thousands of monasteries and convents throughout Europe were gutted by those who rejected ecclesiastical authority. Pope Paul gives the basic reason why corporate obedience to the Roman Catholic Church is of the essence of religious life. It is because the life of the evangelical councils is part of Christian revelation, and therefore as revelation subject to the judgment of Christ's church, so that the church is the only safe guide. There is no other on earth for understanding the religious life in our age as in any age. In the Pope's own words, the authority of the church, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has the duty to interpret these evangelical councils, to regulate their practice, and finally to build on them stable forms of life. Unquote, Pope Paul. The operative word is stable. Stability of religious communities, which means their survival, depends on many factors, but on none more absolutely than their corporate obedience to Jesus Christ in the person of those of whom he said, "He that hears you, hears me, and he that despises you, despises me." Please God, the communities who need this lesson will learn before it is too late. Those who have learned the lesson, I am confident, need no exhortation except to remain loyal to the See of Peter, whose guidance on earth is the guarantee of divine grace from heaven, which leads to heaven, and as far as humanly possible, gives a foretaste of heaven by Christ's own promise of happiness and peace deep down in the religious heart, even in this valley of tears. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.